Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. We have, I love when I get texts that are directly related to the guests. And from the 608, one listener says, Jamie was excellent on Bosch. And I could not agree more. And there's another one. Tom from New Orleans says, your show rocks. Hey, Tom, thank you, buddy. Yeah, Jamie McShane is my guest right now. He's a really just an incredible actor and a very good friend of mine. And he did rock on Bosch. And we're having a good time talking and spending a little time tonight here with him on Nightlight. So, okay, buddy. So I got to ask you, Sons of Anarchy, you know, without giving too many spoiler alerts away or what happens to your character, you got to be so conflicted. Like, as an actor who had a pretty good run on the show, I'm sure you want to go for every season, but if you have to be killed off, what a cool way to go.
First of all, thank you to that caller for saying that. That was very nice. I appreciate that. Yeah, I got the script like an hour before the read through, where you sit around with all the other actors and, you know, you read through the script. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm gone. You know, and I was pretty bummed because it was a great show and I loved the role. It was a great way to go. And then Kurt Sutter at that read through singled me out in a way that I never expected and basically thanked me for what I brought to the table, which was very kind.
But that's when you found out was at the read?
No, about an hour before.
Or about an hour before. Okay. So you got a little warning. Okay.
A little time. Yeah. Jeez.
So those.
Yeah, I got to the read through. I'm like, wait, did I read this right?
Those tears were real that day. Yeah, I'm sure. What do you prefer? Do you prefer movies or TV, or is it all about the role?
Movies and TV are the same to me. I mean, it's all the same process. And now, like, TV is, you know, like the show I'm doing now, it's a movie. It's just 8 hours long or whatever, seven episodes. Same with Bloodline. It's just a longer, the quality is the same. The writing is so good. It's not like where years ago movies were movies and TV was, you know, you had some good episodes or whatever. Sorry, that's Philly with the noise in the background.
They're coming to get you. More jail time for you.
So I just love to work and I love working on camera. Whatever the job is. Yeah.
That's so cool. You did an episode of Monk with Tony Shalhoub. Who is from, I guess he grew up like a mile away from where we are right now. And I saw him once in Gelson's in Valley Village there and had a really nice talk with him. Very nice guy. What was your experience on Monk like? And what was your experience with Tony Shalhoub like?
Well, I auditioned and Tony was in the room and I had them laughing. I had them cracking up and I never get to do comedy, like never.
Huh.
So it was really fun. I'm like, it was just so fun. And he was so sweet. And it was wonderful working on Monk. And someone recently, like two people recently saw me on it and, you know, told my kids or whomever, I don't remember, and said, hey, I saw your dad on Monk. It's like the last show I still had some hair on the top of my head on.
You got the look, though. There's some guys that look awesome bald and you're fortunate because you look, you know, you got a good look. Do you shave it?
Thanks, man. What's that?
Do you shave it or do you just kind of let... Is it
I buzz it when if I'm not working, I buzz it. And then when I'm working, I just wait till they buzz it.
Okay.
You know, so they buzzed it today.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So here's a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Favorite project you've ever been on?
This. I like your show a lot, but I didn't mean that.
You got a good singer in before. I thought you were doing it again. Oh, that's hilarious.
No, this show Task.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's really been a tie between Bloodline, Mank, And the one I did around the world, Busman's Holiday, for all these years. But this one just, I think, surpassed it. It's just been such an amazing experience.
That is so cool. I got to check. Conrad, I know you just got back. Take a memo.
Sounds good.
I haven't asked you to do that in a while.
Radar.
Radar. I'll have to explain that to him. But let's look up Task. That hasn't dropped yet, has it? Is this the first?
No. Yeah, no. Okay. It's not, we're still filming. It's not going to drop until... so next year, I believe HBO is... You know, they've got like... what was that show with... The Last of Us. They have The Last of Us, and then our show, and then I think White Lotus or something like that. But this is I'm so fortunate to be a part of this project. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. I love having a show to look forward to.
Yeah, me too.
How was Deadwood?
Oh, it was awesome.
Was it? It looked like it would have been so much fun to do.
So Deadwood, there was some confusion with my agent at the time. It was a long, long time ago, a different agent than I had. I was supposed to read for a one-line role. And fortunately, the agent messed it up and gave me this 11-page role in the pilot. And I went in and read for it just by accident, and I booked it.
And
realized later I was supposed to go in for the one-line role. And the casting director didn't know what I was coming in for. She knew me, and she was very sweet to me, Libby Goldstein. And that role was a huge break for me. Huge break. But I mean, yeah, it was great.
All because your agent was an idiot.
Well, they weren't an idiot. They were just, they were tired. It was a Friday and the audition was on a Saturday. Yeah.
Was that a good cast to work with? Ian McShane, Timothy Oliphant. There's some really good people in that show.
Yeah, they were all wonderful. I didn't get to work with Ian, but I did meet him, and he was fun. I was just talking about this with someone yesterday, and Ian introduced himself, you know, we have the same last name, and he's like, hi, Jamie, and he's talking to me, and he's very kind, and then all of a sudden, they're like, all right, Ian, we're ready for you, and he goes, excuse me, Jamie, and he walks into the set, and then I'm just watching on the monitor and listening, and he just drops into that character that just oozes menace.
Oh, yeah.
Just oozes it. Wow. He was very sweet to me. He was very kind to me.
Yeah, he's got that voice. He's so great. Like in the John, he was about the best thing about the John Wick movies to me. I think those are kind of over the top, but he's great. He's just, the voice is excellent. All right, a couple more questions for you. My guest is Jamie McShane. You can check him out in Bloodline, Sons of Anarchy, a new show on HBO called Task, Wednesday on Netflix. Just IMDb him, folks, and check out his work.
Hey, tell them to look up Busman's Holiday, because that thing got so overlooked, and my buddy, you know, lost his shirt on that. Busman's Holiday.
Busman's Holiday. Okay. And it is on Amazon. All right. I remember you doing that and kind of telling me about that. And it was like around the world on a shoestring budget or something, like a very ambitious project, right?
Correct. We had a crew of three people.
Oh my gosh.
Including the director, you know, who wrote it, directed it, produced it, and did basically every department. Yeah.
Conrad Memo, Busman's Holiday. We're checking it out.
That sounds good.
Me and Conrad.
Radar.
Popcorn.
You're gonna have to explain to the guest what radar means.
I think some of our guests probably do know, but that slipped my mind. That's a great comp, though. Okay, your favorite actor to work with in your entire career?
Gary Oldman.
Nice. Like from a personal standpoint or professional? Like playing off him or just personally?
Everything. I mean, I loved Ben Mendelsohn, Kyle Chandler. You know, Sissy Spacek I had a little bit with. Holly Hunter was amazing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Viola Davis was wonderful. I could go on and on, but if I had to pick one other, you know, I don't know, Kyle's a good friend, so it's hard to say not him. Also Sam Keeley, who I'm working with now on this show. He's an Irish actor from the show Kin. He's amazing. But Gary was just so, so sweet, so funny. And he's so talented.
He's incredible. Yeah.
So as far as like, he's like the biggest star I've worked with. That was like, that I had a lot of stuff with.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. He was great in True Romance. He played like a pimp.
Oh my God. He was so good in that.
He was great. And I didn't even know it was
with
him
the dreadlocks
first.
And the glass eye. Yeah.
He was great in that. Then you watch him in Hell's Kitchen or The State of Grace. And then he's, you know, in Mank. I mean, he's just a he might be one of the greatest actors of all time. That's a great answer.
I think he's up there. Yeah.
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 And then last thing, buddy, this is what I do for everybody who comes on the show. We talk about movies and TV and what we're watching. Can you recommend anything, you're watching that you're hooked on, or summer blockbusters?
Task, which will come out in March.
just watch. We don't have access to the dailies, so I'm going to need you to say a little more elaborate.
I watched a show called Happy Valley.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And it's on the BBC. It's on like BritBox or something. And it's not at all what it sounds like. It was such a good show. It's a British cop drama with a female lead who's, roughly my age. She was so good. It was such a great show.
That's so cool. Yeah, all right. Because I've heard about that one too. You're not the first person to mention that. Hey, this was so fun. We got to catch up off the air. We got to have like a rated R catch up. And I don't mean just because we can both be topless. I mean, where we can swear and talk like regular people. But listen, Disco Principle 2, get ready. I'll send you the signs.
Yes, I've been warned.
It's time.
My rate has gone up from, one Snickers bar to maybe two or three.
Well, that might be a problem. have fun in Ireland, buddy. I'll call you before you go. Let's catch up.
All right. Take care, Pete. Right. Say hello to everyone.
You got it. You too, buddy.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for doing it, man. Enjoy Philly. That's Jamie McShane. Great guy and a great actor. I'm telling you, check out, if you just want to watch acting in its purest sense, regardless of the role, he's just a consummate professional when it comes to acting. He's just great. So thank you to Jamie. Checks in on the stream and says, "Hey, Pete. Hey, Jim. Great to have you with me tonight." And our actual question tonight is, what food would you let AI shame you into not eating? Conrad and I both say chips. Some people said ice cream. Conrad's dad said pie and ice cream. Soda is a big one.
I would have to say, the cookies that my mom was saying.
Yeah.
Because it's just so hard to just not be like, after one, be like, all right, I'm done now.
You know what? And that's a Brian Regan joke. He talks about how a serving size is two cookies. If you read the package, who in the hell eats two cookies?
I don't know.
If you got like bacon breaks or something, like right out of the oven.
Oh,
where they're like still warm. You're eating minimum 5 to 7 of those.
Yep. And you got a nice cup of milk next to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. So here's what I decided. I'm going to pivot. Sometimes I have to, like I've said on the show before, I've been in show business my whole adult life. And I'm not, I've met a lot of people, and some of them have been big names and some of them not. On this show in Northeast Wisconsin, I feel like if I talk too much about it at times, it's going to sound like I'm name dropping. But tonight, so I do temper myself, because I haven't met everybody, but I've met some really cool people and work with cool people. So tonight, I'm going to tell my Jeff Garland story because it's Jeff Garland's birthday. And Conrad, you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. So Jeff Garland, I was hanging out at this is really interesting. Michael Alexander was on this show 2 days ago and he's coming back next week. I got to remember to tell him this. Conrad, memo. So Mike was on the show. Mike and I were talking by the bar at the Chicago Improv, and Jeff Garland is on stage doing what Jeff Garland does. He's being very funny. Comics are laughing hysterically. Some audience members are laughing. A lot of them are looking at him like they don't know what to make of him, because that's just how he was, and it was beautiful. So Mike and I are talking. Apparently we're being too loud, because this was the secondary room. They just had a curtain up. And all of a sudden we hear from stage, shut up. A couple seconds go by, shut up. Jeff Garlin was telling us to shut up from stage, and it took us like three or four times to hear that. We were like, is he talking to us? Anyway, Garlin comes out after the show. My aunt was went through the Second City training, and she was on the stage for a while there. Jeanette Schwab, a very good actress. And Jeff knew her. So he recognized my last name, pulls me aside, kind of one of these God moments where an angel is talking to you, this time in the form of Jeff Garlin. And he said, listen to me. And I'm like 23, just starting off stand-up. He says, listen to me. You're going to get your opportunities in this business. Everybody does. The key is to be ready. Have stuff to show people. When they find you and they take an interest in you, have stuff ready to show them. And then he walked away. That was it. He was just being a nice guy, helping a young comic, probably because he recognized my last name. I thought it was really cool because I loved his comedy. So years later, I'm in LA. I'm at this party at this big house and a pretty well-known person, Jeff's there. They're good friends. I kind of know them, but I was there with my wife and my son and daughter. It's a pool party and there's fun people. Alanis Morissette was there. That was really cool. She is really beautiful in real life. And on stage too. I didn't mean that, or on TV. But anyway, so I see Jeff Garlin at this party and I go over to him and I remind him of that story. And he said, you know, that he told me it's going to happen. You know, you're going to get your opportunities, blah, blah, blah. And he's just listening to me. He's humoring me with this smirk on his face. Like he can't believe he told me that years ago. So for the rest of the party, whether we're in the yard, in the house, talking in the guest house, playing pool, whatever, there's a lot of people there. Garlin would show up wherever I was. He could be 20, 50 feet away and he would yell, it's going to happen, Pete. He did that about five times over the course of the party. No one else knew what the hell he was talking about. And that is the beauty of Jeff Garlin. Like he, you know, and these are his friends. They all think he's God comedically. So it wasn't like he was taking a risk, but I love that he didn't care. And he just kept doing that to me. And my son, Joe, even said, he goes, Dad, what's that guy talking about? And my son was like 7 years old at the time. He wouldn't have understood the story, but it was just a beautiful, sweet goof moment brought to me by Jeff Garlin. And I love that I have that story and that brief interaction with him because I just think he's so great. Okay, so Anya Esther is coming up in just a few minutes. We'll save our Wire clip for tomorrow. That's a great clip. Have you seen The Wire, Conrad?
You know, I did not, but I watched the clip, obviously, to get it, and I was like, this seems very interesting.
Oh, God.
Because I don't know anything that else happened in the movie. It's just that one scene.
No, it's a show, and it ran for five seasons, and that guy, his character's name is Omar, and he robs drug dealers. I mean, how much of a badass do you have to be to rob drug dealers in Baltimore? But Omar, he's got these cool dreads and he has a shotgun and he walks down the alley with a trench coat and he whistles. He almost announces his presence in the movie. And every time you hear that whistle, like drug dealers take off, it's one of the coolest characters in TV history. And he passed away. Michael Kenneth Williams, I think is his name, just passed away recently, but he played Omar. He's great. He's like a minor role on the show, but whenever he's on screen, his scenes are great. And that show, more often than probably any other show I've heard in the last 10 years, when it comes up, when I hear discussions on TV or read something in the paper, people consistently say, if 10 shows are mentioned three or four times, it's The Wire is the best show in TV history. I don't know if I agree with that. It's certainly up there. I loved it. I watched it twice all the way through. If you haven't checked it out, I highly, highly recommend The Wire. Pete Schwab and Nightlight, so great to have you with me. When everything goes nowhere to hide, when I'm getting you close, when we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good creeping up on you, so just dance, dance, dance. Two, I'm on two, three, four.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have you with me, wherever you are, in your part of the state, your pocket of the world. Hope you're having a swell day. Anya Esther will be here at 8:35 tonight to explain something to me I know nothing about called The Backrooms. And I'm excited about that. I always like learning new things, and I don't know much, so it's fun. But right now, my day just got a lot better because I'm about to welcome a very dear friend to the show and an extremely talented actor. I've had the opportunity as his friend to watch his career just sort of, he has been crushing it for the last like 15, 20 years. And it is a pleasure to have him on Nightlight tonight. Jamie McShane joins me now. Jamie, hey.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can, yeah. How you doing,
right,
buddy?
I did something right. How you doing, Pete? It's been a while. It's good to see you.
I know. It's great to see you too. It's so weird since I've been doing this show. Most of my talking to friends has been on the show via this camera. So if that's all I can do right now, I can't afford to fly to LA every weekend. So this is what I'll take. It's great
to see.
That's
okay. I had no idea. I had to download an app like 2 minutes before I was downloading the app.
And you did it successfully.
I had to scramble for my passwords and all that. So I'm glad you got me.
Oh, I appreciate the effort. I know you're... all right. So before we get into what you're doing right now, I wanted to. I love the way we met because most of the people I know in show business, I met in some facet of show business, whether I was writing or doing stand-up comedy or whatever. You and I met at the park, just taking our kids there. Your kids are a little younger than mine, and we just got to talking one day, and we became good friends. I think that's so cool.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah, mostly it's a school in the park. Yeah, I think Luke's older than Katie, right?
I think he is, maybe by a year. Yeah.
Yeah, Katie's in between my two boys.
Right. And then Joe was a little older. And we just, it was, you know, what was great about going to the park too with your kids is, listen, I love my kids. I know you love your kids, but like when you could just let them run crazy and just find another adult you like to talk to, it's like the greatest thing ever. So
it was great. It was the relief we needed.
Exactly. It was really a magical time. It was like, and then we started like kind of doing cookouts and you guys would come over swimming. And then you and I discovered we both love scotch. And that was trouble, but it was fun.
That was trouble. That was great trouble.
Do you still drink scotch?
I do. Do you?
You know what, Jamie? I have not had a drink in a year and a half. And,
wow.
Yeah. And it really sucks.
No. I'm sorry about that.
But it's fun to talk about drinking. I enjoy that. So, but I'll probably, listen, I'm not a quitter. I haven't given up completely. I will drink at some point, but I got to tell you, it feels pretty good. So.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get to that level one day.
don't hurry. But before we, I want to say one other thing to you that I thought was funny. I've had this discussion with other actors on this show that talk about IMDb and their credits. And we did, our kids went to the same school and I was charged with doing this literacy movie. I did it 2 years and you were nice enough to be one of the actors in it, as well as a lot of other people who are working actors. Cause that it was LA and that was who the parents were. Right. Well, one guy who was like a PA on a literacy movie at a school posted everything on IMDb. So you guys with all these real credits have this ridiculous thing called the Disco Principle on your IMDb page.
But it's such a great title. I mean,
well, yeah,
it's such a great title. So why not? It's another credit. It's the same as any other job. You know, I mean, not quite the same, but
yeah, you didn't get any money.
You work and it was for you and a good cause. So
it was really fun to do, but I just thought that was funny. And I contacted IMDb and I said, listen, you got to take this down. This is a kids literacy movie. And I think the guy who posted it, I think he was trying to get his kids into the business and he wanted them to have a credit, which is fine.
Did they take it down?
They did not take it down. They said, I'm sorry,
keep
we can't
it up
do that.
There. I'm very proud of it.
Okay.
Yeah, leave it up.
You're very proud of it. Is it on your reel?
It's the first thing on my reel.
All right. It stays up. There you go. So you got so much going on, buddy. I mean, you're doing this. You told me today you're in Philly doing Task for HBO. I have to say, I don't know much about that show. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a new show. It'll be out next winter. I mean, next probably March. It's one of I think it's HBO's only new show they're doing. I'm not sure. But it's starring Mark Ruffalo, and it's Brad Inglesby, who created Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet.
Oh, yeah.
It's his next show. He's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met, as is Mark Ruffalo. They rank up there with you, Pete. it's just, I think it's probably the most amazing job of my career thus far.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been beautiful. It's been such a great experience, and I'm so grateful that I'm on it.
That's so cool. We've talked about Mark Ruffalo on the show periodically because he's a Wisconsin native. And I loved him in Poor Things, but what you just said reminded me of another thing. You were on the show Bloodline shortly after I left LA, and we were hanging out a lot. And then you said, yeah, Kyle Chandler's my new Pete. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, buddy. Just because
you moved away. He still drinks scotch, I think.
Oh, well, he's got the, he's probably a better guy all around. So I'm happy mentioned in the same company.
You're both great guys. Task is like, it's like Bloodline. In the writing is so good. The actors are so good. I feel so fortunate to be a part of it. And the people are so nice. And that was like Bloodline as well.
Are you at the point now where, like, just preparing for this, like, I knew all the stuff I wanted to ask you. And then I was like, well, I should see what else he's been up to, because I know the basics, but you have so many credits now. Are you like at the point where you turn down a lot of work, or are you like,
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I got to put kids through college.
Yeah.
And I love to work, and no, it's not. I mean, I still audition. I still have to put myself on tape. I mean, occasionally I get an offer here and there. But no, I love what I do, and I think I'm very fortunate to get any job at any time. And it just so happens that right now, at this time, in this little pocket of my career, this bit after the strike, I have a lot going on, and I feel extremely fortunate because a lot of people in the business are not working right now.
Right. How did you get through the strike? Was that rough? Do you save your money for something like that, Jamie?
I save up my money for anything, and that happened to be what the thing was at the time. And then, you know, I'd walk the picket line. I'd try at least once a week and just, you know, tried to play a lot of tennis and stay sane.
You said you're going back and forth to Ireland for episodes of Wednesday, the show on
Netflix. I went a couple of weeks ago. I went to Ireland, which is one of my favorite places to be. So it's leaving this show, which I love. I absolutely love the character, everything about it. Going to Ireland, which is one of my favorite places in the world, and working for Tim Burton.
Oh my
gosh. So that was pretty, it was pretty amazing.
Wow.
And then I'm going back around 4th of July, I think.
So what is that like? Like, obviously you just said you do all these gigs because you like to work, but what's it like?
If I can get them, it's not like there's no guarantee. Like I just kind of lucked out right now, you know?
I don't know about that. I mean,
thank you.
I've seen your work. you know your way around. But what's it like when you get a hit show, like a show that critics love and that maybe you get mentioned in, like Lincoln Lawyer or Wednesday, I know is a very popular show.
Yeah. It's amazing. I don't think I get mentioned much because I'm usually a little bit lower on the food chain, especially on Wednesday, where there were such extremes. I mean, Jenna Ortega is such an extreme talent, and she just blew up, and she's a very sweet kid, and she worked so hard. But then you also have, you know, Louis Guzman, and you have Catherine Zeta-Jones, and you have you know, so many other and talented, and then a lot of the young kids. So when people want to see the young and the famous, and then there's the old, you know, kind of crotchety sheriff. So they don't, it's like, you don't get much recognition, but I'm thankful to work and to be on a project that is that amazing.
So you've worked with some pretty big directors. you know, really phenomenal ones. On Mank, you worked with David Fincher, and also on Gone Girl, I think David Fincher directed.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck and Argo. Who's the best director you've worked with, and what were your opinion of those guys?
It has to be you on Disco Principal.
Boy, I lobbed that one up there for you, didn't I?
I don't know. I mean, I love working for Fincher, and I love working for Tim Burton. I can't distinguish, like, oh, this one's better. They're so different. I mean, Fincher does so many takes. He's very funny. He's extremely intelligent. And then Tim is fun, and he's a little quirky, but not as quirky as I thought he was. And he's a little more simple. And yet, I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's just different styles. It's different stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought Ben was great. Ben Affleck was great with Argo. He was a very good director, and I got to work with him as an actor a little bit on Gone Girl. He was very nice. So, yeah, I can't really say, oh, this is my favorite director.
Okay. Is Fincher really intense? Like, his movies can be so intense, Jamie. Like, I always picture him being like this guy that, like a mad genius or something on the set, or has he just come across as a regular guy? I'm just curious.
More a regular guy than not, but he's not a regular guy. He's so smart, and he knows every aspect of the business down to the bottom, whatever. But he's funny. He's a really funny guy. So yes, there's a lot. There's an intensity to the filming because of the subject matter sometimes, but he's pretty cool.
He looks like he'd be a cool guy. But I think if I showed up on a set and he was the director or one of these guys, like, I think that would be really intimidating. You've been around now. You probably don't get rattled at all, but, are there
still,
is there
not true. I mean, Fincher's intimidating. He is, but he's also, I think because I got to work with him a little bit on Gone Girl, and he was very kind and very, like, he seemed excited that I was working on the project. I hope he felt that way when the project was done, but
yeah,
he's a sweet dude.
That's pretty cool. My guest is Jamie McShane. He's an actor, and he's got a list of credits a mile long, and he's done just some amazing work. What are your favorite roles to play, Jamie?
Wow. Favorite roles to play. I don't know. I can say, like, my favorite roles I've done, probably definitely this one, the one on Bloodline, Mank. And then I did a little film Around the World. We went around the world in a month, a very low budget film for a friend of mine called Busman's Holiday. And I was the lead in that. And I love that. But, I don't know that I have a definite, and I'm doing this show 1923. I play a U.S. Marshal. I love period pieces. That's fun. I don't know. That's a good question.
I got to tell you, you do the conflicted, I mean, this is just a testament, and you need great actors to play these roles. Someone who's really troubled. Your role on Bosch. I'd like to talk to you about that too. When we're going to do a quick thing here, but, my guest is Jamie McShane. I want to ask you this too. Who wins in a fight, Jamie? Tom Hanks or Henry Winkler?
Oh, Tom Hanks.
Wow, it's like a no-brainer. It's like a no-brainer. Everybody's just says
no,
that.
I'm trying to think this through now because I'm thinking of different things. I think Tom would just be taller and hit him, but then Henry might come underneath and do some damage.
And Henry's a good dancer. You think you could see him breaking out into soft shoes somehow, almost like a martial art.
I think if he went retro into the Fonzie mode, he might really have a good. I didn't really I think so this too. Through. I kind of answered on the top of my head, but
all right, think it over. We'll have you. We'll solidify. We'll nail down your answer in just a second. Jamie McShane is my guest. Check out his work on IMDb and then go find it because it's great. We'll have more with Jamie coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting some great texts. Our question tonight is, what food would you let AI shame you into not eating? And that's where things are headed, folks, with AI. But you know what? If it helps me eat less chips, I'm all for AI. I have no problem with that. So let us know what you think. We've gotten some great texts so far. We'll read those shortly. Right now, my guest is Jamie McShane, the actor. Jamie, it's got to be so cool, you know, and I don't know how often you you experience this, but you've worked so much now. And even tonight, when we put out the poster to advertise your appearance on the show, Tony Zimmerman, another employee here at Civic Media, said, "Oh, Sons of Anarchy, Jamie McShane, I love him." Like, you kind of have, you know, I'm not saying it's like if you went somewhere that you can't even go to the bathroom because fans are mobbing you, but it's got to be cool that you're recognized, right?
It's very flattering. It's very fulfilling that, like, oh wow, I've done enough to that some people know who I am. They usually don't know my name, but yeah, mm-hmm. And it'll be from random things. It'll be, you know, Sons and often Bloodline. When Wednesday first came out, it was that, and then sometimes the Fosters or yeah, just it's I find it very I guess rewarding. Yeah.
It's funny. I don't know if how much you see Scott Clase these days, but when I still lived in LA, Scott and I went to a baseball game, and he's been on the show on the anniversary, I think, when Bosch dropped. We had Scott on to talk about his role, and I told him, I reminded him of the story, and he remembered it. We were leaving Dodger Stadium, and this gangbanger, I thought he was just going to kill Scott. He looked like the meanest dude ever. And, you know, he goes up to Scott. I'm like ready to have his back if I have to.
Right.
And thank God the guy goes, "Man, I just want to tell you, you're my favorite actor in the world."
Oh, that's great.
It was awesome.
How amazing is that?
It was incredible. And I could tell Scott was a little off put at first because this guy looks so mean, but he was like a big teddy bear. It was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
So you did a season on Bosch, and that has become one of my favorite shows. I've fallen in love with LA cop shows over the years. And I know that you do Lincoln Lawyer too. And I think it's the same either author or producers or something, but can you talk?
Same author, Michael Connelly.
Michael Connelly. Yeah. Okay. And first, if you would talk about your experience on Bosch, you played a really conflicted character named Frank Sheehan, who is estranged from his family, and you were accused of this horrible crime. And you had to cry a lot, not like bawling, but like just sitting there so troubled. How hard is it to do that as an actor?
And unfortunately, with the way life has gone with certain things, and, you know, things happen to your kids and things have happened in your own life. And you, for me, I learned to draw upon, you know, first it was stuff that happened to me when I was young, and then, you know, someone close to me died, and then I could pull that in, and then something happened to, you know, I just sort of pull into that stuff. And as I've gotten older, it's easier, and unfortunately, there's more stuff to pull into, and I find it harder to get out of. Mm. Like, when I get into that zone, it's harder to shake it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's been interesting.
So, like, after a scene like that, are you saying, like, you go back to your trailer and you got to, like, shake yourself out of it, or do you snap
even
out
sometimes,
of it?
Even sometimes for an audition, like, if I have to go that dark, I mean, it may take the rest of the day to, like,
wow,
come down. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it gets, I was doing this bit on Wednesday and I had to get a little sad, and I just triggered, some stuff got triggered. Actually, of like pushing Luke on the swing when he was a little boy, and like looking back on the last 20 years of, you know, his life, and, you know, my whole life. And it just, that bit triggered me, and I went down a dark slope, which was needed for the scene. And it was hard to come out. Yeah.
Boy, that is intense. I'm glad you shared that, because I think a lot of actors or just people have stuff in their life, but they can't just pull it and draw from it that quickly. You know what I mean? Like, because I know exactly what you're talking about, but for you to be able to access it like that and use it is really so cool for your art.
Yeah, it's been interesting as I've developed, you know, with a guy with really not any real training, just kind of going at it and finding my own way. And then all of a sudden, you know, stuff comes a little quicker, I guess, just with age and stuff.
Yeah.
I will say though, Bosch, they called me back this year for Bosch Legacy.
Yeah.
For the same character. I was so honored and so touched. So when Bosch Legacy, the new season comes out, I'm back in the first episode.
As Frank Sheehan.
Correct.
So now I'm trying to remember back. Did you go to jail during that season?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That is so cool that they're bringing you. Now I'm really excited.
I was really touched because it was like the strike had just ended. And all of a sudden I get a phone call and it's from, you know, a show that I love to do. Titus Welliver is such a nice guy.
Is he? Cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's a great, great guy. He's a great actor. He's a great man. So it was like, oh my God, I get to go back to work after a year of hardly working and it's on Bosch and there's a comfortability because I played the role and I knew the people and they knew me. So it was nice.
He's such a great, you know, as I get older, I just don't like the steroid heroes, you know, the guys mm-hmm. that have fake names, Diesel, The Rock. It's like, come on, enough. But like Titus Welliver, it just looks like a regular dude, but he's also a badass like you.
He's a great actor.
Yeah,
great
he really actor. Is. Lincoln Lawyer too. You having fun on that? That's a really good, you play a lawyer, I think, right? You're like kind of a cocky.
No, I played a detective, cocky, yes. Okay. I played a detective who also went to jail. And they, I'm hoping they might bring me back at some point, too. I hope I get out of jail there, too.
all right. So what was your first paid gig? Do you remember?
Well, that's hard to say. The first time I made enough money to make my insurance, I was John McEnroe's body double in a couple commercials.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah. I was literally his body double.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's like just fun. A fun nugget, right? As you're starting out. Cause I remember when we'd be at the park and you'd be like, yeah, I got this. I think you did a Bruce Willis film or something. You did a couple days on it. And it was just like, wow, this is so cool. And my parents to this day, whenever they would visit, when we get back here, they go, how's Jamie doing? Because like you gave him an earful one time at the park just about what it's like as an actor and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, can you hang around for a couple more minutes? Can we just keep you for a few more minutes?
Yeah, keep me as long as you want.
All right. You're kept.
My call time is like 4 a.m. tomorrow. But before that, we're good.
No, we'll do our best. Okay. We'll have more with my good friend Jamie McShane, the very talented actor here on Nightlight with Peach Wabak. I want to cry.